The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
On this episode of Revelator, I welcome music guests Chris Stringer and Jimmy Allen from the band Against All Will. All this happening now on Revelator.
And enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome to Revelator. I'm your host Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me as always. And another big show around the corner for you. And I'm really excited about this show. We have singer-songwriter Chris Stringer is going to join us, and also Jimmy Allen from the band Against All Will. Some may recognize the name Jimmy Allen from the band in the early 2000s, late 90s, named Puddle of Mud. He was one of the original founders of that band. He's got a new project with some guys from Soulfly, and so definitely stick around for that. It's going to be a really, really cool show. And Chris Stringer, singer-songwriter from the UK. And I want to thank all our listeners, people who tune in every week in and week out, and support us. We really appreciate it. And it doesn't go unnoticed. And hopefully we can do more CD giveaways like we did this summer, through the holiday or something, we appreciate you guys, spreading the word and, tell people, man, hey, man, we're here to stay. We'll do it as much as we can. And we enjoy talking to the artists who are doing it at their time. We appreciate it. And we got big guests coming up, Pop Evil, Throw the Fight. I mean, really, really awesome artists coming along down the pike here. And tonight is no different with the direction we're going with some of the great artists we have. But I'll tell you what, Jimmy Allen from the band Against All Will, former member and founder of Puddle of Mud, will be joining us here in a moment. But I'll tell you what, let's take a little sample here. This is The Drug I Need, Against All Will, here on Revelator.
There's a sadness I feel with letting go and wanting something you can.
the drug I need here on Revelator. And joining me right now is Jimmy Allen from the band Against All Will. Jimmy, how you doing, man? Thanks for taking the time out.
Hey, man, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show today.
Hey, our pleasure, man. Now, I think the drug I need, this song, I think, sums up a relationship I think everybody had, at least at one point in their life, has experienced, a toxic relationship that, I think, being in those relationships helps you further down the road for future relationships. So what is your take on it? I imagine you had experience a toxic relationship. Is that something you obviously out of, I would assume now, and taken that experience and evolved from, right?
Yeah. Now I'm single and everything's perfect, but, it's like you said, but going through that really helps you, kind of in life, you kind of realize, and I've been through a few of those toxic relationships, and it is kind of, like the song says, it's kind of like a drug. You kind of get to a point where you're like, man, I don't understand why, I'm into this chick because it's just so corrupt and evil and everything like that. But you keep going back and you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah, but I've had a couple of those as well. I dated years ago this crazy fiery redhead, and she was nuts, man. And if it wasn't for her being so good in bed, I don't know if I would have went back as much as I did. But
oh, us men, it's like sex. Right? As long as the sex is good, we're okay with it.
Right, sex sandwich and time for sports. Yeah. I'm good. All right, awesome. But but hey, you got this project, man, Against All Will, and. I like on your website, you guys say this, we didn't form because of the bands that we were in. We formed to create the band that we always wanted to be in. Now, many people may not know that you were one of the founding members of Puddle of Mud. Talk to me about the transition from Puddle of Mud to Against All Will.
So I'd say it's a lot harder to kind of, break through or whatever, because Puddle was such a big act. But it's really nice to kind of not be controlled by a label or not have to worry about this producer saying he doesn't like this song or whatever. It's very, grassroots kind of, the more you work at it, the better it gets. And it's kind of it's really been, an eye-opening experience because, the way the music industry is nowadays, it's just really not what it used to be, and you realize how much work really goes into it nowadays, and it's really like a thing where it's like we are hands-on on everything, from videos to recording our own music to writing our own songs to producing our own music to all that stuff. We don't have somebody that's overseeing that or helping with it. It's all kind of left up to us, and if we fail at it, then it's our fault, it's nobody else's. So it's kind of one of those things where you really kind of see it for what it is. And it's both being in Puddle and doing Against All Will, I'm just happy that I guess I can write songs that people can relate to, and that's the best thing about it. That's the reward to me, is that people come up and say, hey, that song really got me through this, or this song explains my life. And it's really good just to talk to people and hear their take on it.
Very cool, man. I've talked to a lot of bands about this, and I mean, obviously social media plays a big part in it, and the music industry has changed so much in the last couple of years, heck, even in the last 10 years. I mean, you look back 10 years, even 15 years, into the mid-90s, into the early 2000s, to where the music industry is now. I mean, the independent band, you can really make, you make your own way, man. I mean, as far as tour, merchandise, being out there meeting the fans, doing all those different things, it's obviously probably maybe a little bit more work, but it's got to be a little bit more rewarding too. I mean, obviously being in Puddle, what was that like when you leaving Puddle of Mud? Was that like a tough decision for you to be like, man, maybe this is just not fun anymore for me, or I want to do something different musically, or was it kind of a combination of both for you?
It's kind of a combination of both, and it's kind of, I've been in and out of the band. I mean, I started the band, I named it Puddle of Mud. I mean, it's pretty much was my baby, but it's kind of like, one of those things where it's, the singer, the damn singer, they get everything, it's like, so, it's one of those things where it's kind of, it comes to a point to where you're kind of like, well, we're capable of doing all this, but we're kind of held back by this one guy that kind of controls everything. And he really, sometimes his heart's into it and sometimes his heart's not into it. And it's kind of like, you're, you're like, and I think, you know, a lot of the guys that have, you know, been in Puddle of Mud, you know, the other members, you know, we've all talked and stuff like that. And it's kind of that we all feel the same way. It's, you're kind of, you know, left to deal with, you know, the one guy that, you know, sometimes he's into it and sometimes he's not. And it's just kind of a, it's kind of a drag sometimes, because you're kind of like, you have all this success and you have all this, you know, capabilities to do things that you've always dreamed of, but that one guy that's in charge of everything really doesn't care. And you're kind of like, oh, what's a, you know, I mean, this is really a drag, you know, because it's like, we have all this in front of us that we're capable of doing. And it's like, you're held back by this one guy. And it's kind of like, oh man, you know, I mean, the singer always kind of does that thing where it's just, you know, you kind of realize, just like, yeah, it's true about singers, that lead singer's disease, LSD. It's really true.
Right on. Well, I appreciate, you know, talking about that. Now, obviously, the new project, Against All Will, you formed in 2007. You've had some lineup changes, kind of finalized things in 2009. Talk to me about the songwriting process and really how did you guys all meet? Is this, you know, just kind of being out and about and, you know, being in the music community and playing festival shows and you run into people kind of thing? Or, you know, how did this come to be, man?
Yeah, you know, that is funny, because it was really kind of friends. I was working on, you know, a lot of song co-writes and working with different producers and stuff. And it was kind of friends that were like, you know, dude, you just need to start your own band. And I was like, well, I don't really have any band members. Well, I'll play with you or I'll record with you. And it's really came around to where it was just like in LA, we were kind of, I kind of had some studio time with some producers already lined up that I really didn't have to, you know, pay a lot for. And so I kind of brought in this friend or that friend, you know, Marty O'Brien played on some stuff from, you know, he's done all kinds of things from, you know, being bass playing in Disturbed, did, you know, Tommy Lee's band, and he's done a ton of stuff. And then, you know, Moak from OTEP and Head PE came and played some drums. So we had, I mean, I had like 10 different guys that came in that were my friends that just kind of, we got together, we jammed, I had some song ideas, I threw them out there, you know, they helped me form some stuff, you know, on song wise. And it was really kind of cool. It was like not a band yet. It was just kind of like me writing some songs. And then after we kind of had, you know, 10 songs, I was kind of like, wow, we can maybe actually do a band here. And it kind of came together like that. And it was kind of friends kind of that kind of made me, hey dude, you could do this, you know, let's get together and do this and do that. And, you know, it's like good friends that didn't ask for anything. And it's kind of like, some of my friends, I tried to even give, you know, kick a couple $100 to for doing a session. And they're like, nah, just buy me dinner sometime. Really great. Right. You know, it was really, I really couldn't have done it without them.
Well, I imagine that's, you know, obviously having that chemistry already, being friends with musicians, but also, you know, kind of be refreshing too, you know, with guys who have different musical interests and different musical styles, also kind of pushing yourself musically too. I'd imagine it's got to be, you know, are obviously very enjoyable. And I think the songs that we're hearing tonight definitely represent that.
Yeah. And you know, it wasn't like one of those things where it's kind of a, you know, really hard, you know, you're like, oh man, this is really hard work. It was really kind of just really relaxed at first and just kind of like, hey, what idea do you have for this song? I'll play you the, you know, verse and chorus. What do you think? And then having your buddies go, dude, that's really cool. I mean, I could hear that on the radio. And you're like, oh, okay. So it kind of encourages you, because as a songwriter, you know, sometimes you're very insecure about stuff. And when you play it for somebody, just bare bones, and they're like, dude, that's really cool. I mean, I love that song. And you're like, okay. So you can kind of be forthcoming and actually put yourself out there a little bit and not be so insecure about stuff. And that's what really helped me, is just having people, friends around that were like, dude, that's pretty badass. That's just as good as anything on the radio. And you're like, really? Oh, okay, cool.
Well, I think one of the songs is the one we're going to hear right now, which is Love the Way You Hate Me. One, it's a great track, and I really dig the video too, man, with the, you know, kind of just really kind of sets the stage for this track. Is there anything you want to add? I mean, I think the song itself is kind of self-explanatory. Is there anything you want to add to
it? Well, the thing that's really cool about Love the Way You Hate Me is that it's one of those, you know, the riff, that first riff was recorded in my basement at my house, and it's actually, that is the first time, like, I played that riff. Cello hit record, and the one that's actually on the recording is recorded in my basement of my house, and it's the first time I played that riff. And it was just like one of those things where it's like, I played that riff and Cello was like, that's cool, let's record that. And I was like, that, I mean, it's, when hear it on like Octane or hear it on radio, I'm like, cool, that's in my basement. The first time I played that riff, you know, so it's, that's a reward to me, I guess. It's kind of basic, but yeah.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, man, let's take a quick break and we'll jam this out. This is Against All Will, Love the Way You Hate Me, here on Revelator. Against All Will here on Revelator. Love the Way You Hate Me. Hanging out with Jimmy Allen from the band, also the founder of the band. I got to ask, man, kind of a spin on the question I'm sure you get asked quite a bit, is what are some of the names you did not pick for Against All Will, if you remember
a name? Oh, yeah, there was Sugar Puss. Yeah, that was one of them. It was like, and I think at the time there was another band with Sugar in it, and we were kind of like, nah, Sugar Puss isn't that cool. And so we were thinking of, you know, how about just calling it It? And then it was like, nah, that's not that very cool or whatever. And I can't remember what I said. I said something about it. I was like, somebody asked me a question. And I was like, yeah, I did that, but it was Against My Will. And I was like, hey, that's kind of a cool. How about Against All Will's band name? And I can't remember who it was. It was like, yeah, that's pretty cool, man. And I was like, and they were like, what does it mean? And I'm like, I don't know. It just sounds cool together.
Very, very cool. Yeah, I think you did well, man. I mean, I like Sugar Puss, though. Maybe, you know. I mean, yeah, you know, that could be like a...
That's my side project. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'd be another side project. Me and my producer, Mike, you know, we had a little side project called Satan's Cream Puff way back in the day. So maybe we can do a little one-off or something, man. You know? But against the wall, obviously you guys have played some live shows. What is the big difference from... You know, some of the live shows you've done, some of the old, you know, live shows, obviously, you know, we mentioned Puddle of Mud earlier, you know, playing, you know, you guys obviously played some arena shows and stuff. So, I mean, what is the major difference in the things that you enjoy more now that you missed that, you know, that you missed early on with Puddle of Mud?
Well, yeah, with like, it's more, you're more connected with the fans. I mean, even with Puddle, I mean, I wouldn't stay backstage and be a diva or anything. I'd go out and talk to people. And, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, with Puddle, it was kind of you kind of have a, you know, bigger shows and stuff like that, but I still went out and talked to the fans, and, you know, most of the time it was funny. It was, I would have people, you know, we really want to meet Wes, and I would go backstage and grab Wes. Hey, there's people, and he's like, what, man, I don't want to go, come on, we got to go meet your fans, and I'd drag him out there, and these people would, all the fans were, I can't believe you got him to come out, and I'm like, well, you know, I mean, see, you got to, you know, take care of the people that take care of you, you know, so, you know, with Against All Will, it's kind of just basically, it makes you feel good because you're not so widely known. You're not on the radio all the time. So when people show up, you're kind of like, hey, wow, this is cool. Yeah, I heard your song. I love your band. You know, you're like, wow, okay. So I did this. Not a big record label shoving it down everyone's throat. It's, you know, real fans, genuine fans. So it's one of those things where kind of you're like, I did this. I feel good about this because, you know, they're showing up for, you know, my music, not, you know, the big you know, corporate rock thing, you know?
Yeah, but the machine that is, and we've talked a little bit off air about, you know, the FM world. And obviously, I think satellite radio has changed the game quite a bit.
Yeah.
You still have some of those hints of the old mentality, but I think overall they do a pretty good job of trying to get more music out there as opposed to the same 12 songs every hour, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, there's hints of it there, but you know what, with Octane, it's been one of those things where they've been great to us. I mean, I think they played Drug I Need for a whole year straight. It was, you know, on the playlist, and we, you know, got into the Biggins Countdown. And for us, an independent band that doesn't really have a lot of money to throw at radio, it was really rewarding to us to be like in, I mean, I think we were the only independent band in their Biggins Countdown, and it was one of those things where they really helped us push, you know, our music out there with, you know, not paying them, you know, not, you know, doing this or doing that, kickbacks and all that stuff, and it was really great. And they're, you know, a great station, you know, because it's kind of geared to our kind of music, so it's really, they were really, really helpful in pushing Against All Will, so I can't thank those guys enough for that.
Well, you guys have some great tracks, man, and we've heard a couple tonight. But I get more back to the live show thing. I mean, I got to ask you, you've played obviously tons of shows all across the country and all of the world. I mean, is there one moment or a strange moment or anything that sticks out in your mind when you think about playing live shows and you're like, oh, yeah, that time at such and such a place? Is there anything that sticks out for you?
There's so many. I mean, there's so many that you are, I mean, as a musician that you're like, okay, we're getting paid a lot of money. Like, I mean, there's a few shows where it was like, we're getting paid a lot of money, but there's nobody here. And we're playing in the middle of a field in Paducah or whatever, you know, you're like, what the hell? What, who's paying for this? You know, and, you know, there's those eye opening experiences where you're just like, okay, this is really surreal. You know, it's like you, as a musician, you're like, you never think about stuff that you're like, okay, you know, you get paid for playing shows or whatever, but it's like some of these things where you end up and you're like, I'm in the field in the middle of Nebraska. There's 10 people, but they paid this much money and they're supposed to be, you know, 100,000 people here, but there's 10, you know, 10 people here. You're like, what?
You're like, those, the corn is really tall here.
Yeah. There's a, you know, we with a Puddle, we'd play some shows where we'd play, you know, we'd play a huge show, one, you know, a radio show one day, and then the next day it'd be like a one-off in the middle of the field, and we'd be like, what the hell's going on here, and do we need the money this bad?
What's do you have any pre-show rituals at all? I mean, anything that you kind of get into, like, hey, you know, going over the set list, or is there anything that you kind of do continuously before a show?
Whiskey.
What kind of whiskey are you using? You Jack Daniels guy?
I'm Maker's Mark, but Jack Daniels hits the spot too.
There you go. Jack Daniels is I'm here just outside of Nashville, so
yeah.
Jack Daniels is the standard. So
yeah, it's the thing about it. It's like anytime I drink some Maker's Mark, I'm like, man, you know, this is a little too refined for me. I need some of that dirty Jack. Get the anger going.
There you go. No doubt, man. Now, I got to ask a question. On tour, obviously, yeah, you're on the road and you're busy. You're going from one town to the other, driving here and there, and meals come as they come. What's the worst thing you've had to eat or have seen someone else eat on the road, man?
You know, I'm really careful on the road about eating things. I mean, I really am. I've had food poisoning like 3 times, and it's the nastiest, meanest thing I could wish on anybody. But it's like there's been mountain oysters that I've seen one of our members eat, and then I remember one time that when everybody was hungry, and it was like I caught one of our members eating jelly, out of a package. Those little jelly. I'm like, "What are you eating?" He's like, "Jelly." I'm like, "Oh my god, you're eating straight jelly? I'm hungry." It's like, besides that, it's at McDonald's and stuff. It's like when you're with a band that and they're all hungry and they're like, "Hey man, there's a McDonald's." You're like, "Ooh, just hell of it makes me sick."
Right. You're like, do you have any of that jelly left?
Yeah, hook me up with some of that jelly, man. I need a shot of that shit.
We're going to do a drive-by on Cracker Barrel and steal those packets of the stacks of jelly, man. No, being on the road, I mean, if you were doing music, what would you think you would be doing, man?
I don't know. I've thought about that a lot of times. I mean, maybe a cop or a secret agent or something like that. I don't know. I have friends that are police officers, and I'm like, man, it must be really cool to like kind of bust people and stuff. And they're like, nah, not really. It's not very cool. I'm like, I don't know, man. It'd be kind of cool.
Do you get to tase anybody?
Yeah, exactly. You're kind of like, that would be kind of cool. And then it's like, a lot of my friends are like, yeah, it's mostly domestic disturbances and you feel terrible. And I was like, oh, that would be terrible. Yeah, you're right. He's like, nah, it's not always busting the bad guys. It's kind of sometimes you feel really bad. And I'm like, oh, maybe I don't want to do it then.
Right. Yeah, those guys got to have a tough way to go, man, because it's not always, the stuff you see on TV and glamorous. It's the traffic stops and just, little things you end up having to, jack people up over, and you're like, sorry, man,
It's bad.
Well, I tell you what, man, you're really busy. What are the future plans for you guys as far as touring and music here in the back end of the year heading into the new year?
Right now we've been taking a little bit of a break or whatever. We've had a lot of stuff going on. And so we're kind of, we're planning on, releasing some new music coming up pretty soon and kind of getting some shows, tours lined up. I mean, we had some tour offers the last time around, but it was kind of like you kind of do the math and you're like, okay, well, we're going to be coming home. Oh, actually, we're going to be coming home in the red, and we're going to be paying a lot of money to be out and stuff like that. So you're kind of like, nowadays, you kind of have to be really smart about stuff. And it's like, we had a couple offers. I mean, I know we had, a couple dates on Crew Fest or whatever, and it was kind of like, oh, wow, that'd be great. And then you kind of do the math, and you're kind of like, oh, so we're going to be paying 10 grand to be on those two shows.
Right.
Oh, okay. And so as an independent band, we're like, oh, there's stuff we really want to do, but we just can't do it. And it bums us out. And I think makes us keep pushing forward, trying to beat this thing and come up with new songs, new music. Hopefully our fans will appreciate it and, kind of dig it. And, it'll all come out in the wash. I think everything's going to, with the way the business is, it's tough, but also it's one of those things where, we do this because we love it, not because, we want to be millionaires or whatever,
Yeah, man. I'm glad that you guys are really down to earth, man. And I think the more people hear your guys' music, the more they're really going to dig it. You guys obviously have a great sound, and it's really kind of you guys have some really edgy lyrics and stuff too, which I really dig. Sometimes I think people try to sugarcoat certain things, and I'm glad that a lot of these songs, lyrics, music wise, it kind of has a really raw feeling to it, and I really dig
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, man. Thank you, and I appreciate that because, yeah, that's kind of what exactly what you just said. We're trying to – exactly what we're trying to go for, you know? I mean, it's like, you know, Love the Way You Hate Me, you know, it's like, you know, when I kind of, you know, approached everybody with that and kind of had that, my manager was kind of like, you know, I mean, it's a good song, but it's kind of, you know, hateful or whatever. And I'm like, well, it's supposed to, you know, you're kind of supposed to get the hate out in the song so you're not really actually hating real stuff. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if a kid listens to this or somebody that's going through problems listens to this and it helps them a little bit, it's not really a, you know, a bad thing. You know, it's kind of like I want to touch on things that are reality and not some, you know, fantasy thing. So it's kind of like, you know, it's easier for me to write about, you know, real emotions and not, you know, I'm going to go out and get laid and bang chicks and drink beer. And, you know, it's more about, you know, something that's inside, something different. So it's kind of, I want to keep it real and edgy, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of reminds me like when you hear the songs for the first time, at least for me anyway, you know, you could actually almost picture, if you've been in that situation, you can almost picture yourself just getting, you know, getting that emotion out on paper and writing it down.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? There's no filter. There's no, you know, it's just like, this is how I feel. I'm going to put it on paper, you know, and it's just that raw, like, that's how I feel, you know? And, you know, and maybe, you know, and to actually go out and share that, you know, it exposing yourself and sharing those raw emotions, I commend you for that, man. I really do.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, because what you said is really kind of what you know, I tried to you know, base everything on, and it's real. You know, it's not something that where it's like, and I'm not a hateful person. I don't really hate too many people, but it's like a lot of my songs I want people to listen to that are going through something and go, hey, he's been there, or I can relate to that, and actually have it be a real thing where it's genuine.
Very cool, man. Well, hey, Jimmy, it's been a pleasure, man. If people are interested in finding out more of what you guys are up to, what's the website that they can visit to check it
out?
It's
againstallwill.com, or get on the Facebook and hit us up. You know, we try to keep up to date with everybody on there. And yeah, I mean, any of the fans that are into the music, you know, get a hold of us. You know, we're pretty humble guys. We like to talk, you know, so, you know, reach out.
Very cool, man. Well, hey, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. And we close out. This is your guys' latest single, Sunset Jupiter. I encourage everyone to go to the website, go on iTunes, buy this track. It kicks ass. And, Jimmy, best of luck to you, man. Hey, if you guys got new music, anything going on, definitely keep us in the loop, and we'll help you as much as we can, man.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Hey, take care, man. This is Sunset Jupiter Against All Will here on Revelator.
Only lane home. But be the last superstar the world will ever love.
Against All Will here on Revelator. That is Sunset Jupiter, the latest single from the band. I want to thank again Jimmy Allen for coming on and taking time out. For more information about the band Against All Will, head on over to omnes.tv. That's omnes.tv. Or you can also find us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. Click on episode Revelator number 28. And Chris Stringer from London will be joining us here in a moment. I'll tell you what, he's got a new EP getting ready to come out. We're going to talk extensively about that. Let's take a sample. This is an exclusive listen here on Revelator. This is the professional Chris Stringer here on Revelator.
What did you expect when you left her in the rain, crawling back at 3 or 4? You kids are all the same. To a girl who once dismissed her class, you're trying to talk to her through trail mascara, and it's making tracks. 'Cause after all, she's just a girl whose headrest is in your hands. After all, she's just a girl who will never understand. She's a seasoned professional at bus stop confessionals after a night of sin. And if you want to love, well, you'd better go and tell her, 'cause tomorrow she'll be gone again. You made soundtracks to her silhouette. She outlined with a cigarette. Oh, the strength. Place something low. She compliments it beautifully with a pirouette. 'Cause after all, she's just a girl whose headrest is in your hands. After all, she's just a girl. A girl who will never understand. She's a seasoned professional at bus stop confessionals after a night of sin. And if you want to love, well, you'd better go and tell her, 'cause tomorrow she'll be gone again. Thank you. 'Cause after all, she's just a girl whose headrest is in your hands. After all, you're just a boy, and boy, you'll never understand. She's a seasoned professional at bus stop professionals after a night of sin. Tomorrow she'll be gone again. She's a one in a million, and he finds it thrilling at this concrete shed in the rain. Oh, but crying out loud, won't you please spit it out, 'cause tomorrow she'll be gone again.
The professional here on Revelator, and I'm joined now by Chris Stringer. Now, Chris, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Now, I want to say thanks for staying up late, man. You know, I know in the UK right now, it's what, like 2, 3 a.m., something like that?
Yeah, about a quarter past 2.
So
good.
Yeah, man. So you got a cup of coffee in hand, or you jacked up on caffeine this late at night to stay hang with us, man?
Yeah, tea over here.
Oh, here you go. Yeah, yeah. So what kind of tea are you drinking, man? You do a green tea? You doing more like an herbal kind of tea, or
black tea, man? Just get tea bag in. None of that milk nonsense.
All right, okay. Yeah, any sugar at all, or you go straight black tea?
Oh yeah, you know, I'll have two if I'm feeling cheeky.
There you go, right on. Well, cool, man. Well, again, I appreciate you taking the time out. Now, you've actually been a listener of the show for quite some time, so I thank you for being supportive of us, and I appreciate you taking the time out. And I know you've been working on this EP for quite a bit, and I want to talk about that in a moment. But I got to ask you, man, I think about everybody that comes on the show. This, as you know, I'm always curious about what are your early music memories. You know, as a kid, you know, what kind of really got you in music as a child?
Do you know what my first favorite song that I know about was the B-52's Love Shack.
Nice.
Yeah, that's apparently when I was a kid, I just used to go off when that song came on. That was my first favorite song.
That is a classic B-52s for sure, man. I think everybody can. I think I don't care how old you are or where you grew up. I think everybody can relate to that song. It was such a kind of a cult classic song, especially in into the late 80s into the 90s there. And was it the break there? They go tin roof. I think is what they say there. Yeah. Then break and then they rock into it. You know,
no idea.
You're like, I don't know, man.
It's one of those great songs of where really really terrible white guy rap was in the charts.
Right. Now it's everywhere. You know, you can't get away from that stuff. You know,
plenty of that.
Well, I gotta ask you, obviously, you know, as a singer songwriter, what are some of your musical influences that you had, both early in life and, you know, even people who influence you still today?
I mean, to be honest, one of the first sort of groups that kind of got me going was, believe it or not, Coldplay. Like, I'm really not a fan of their stuff anymore, but their first album was just something else. And what else? A guy called Damien Rice from Ireland. He was one of my big influences at first. And now I just keep finding other people, and it just keep... Every so often I find someone and I think, oh, man, I should just give up. And I think, no. You've got to strive and carry on.
Yeah, no, man. I know you've had some, you know, some ups and downs. I think everybody, you know, goes through, you know, hard points in life. There's no doubt, man. We've got to be, you know, pretty good friends, and I'm glad that you continued on. I know for a while there you had a moment where you were like, man, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. And I'm glad you decided to do that. And I'm excited for you to have this EP come out. Now, do you have a release date officially on this EP at all?
Not officially. Basically, because where I live at the moment is in South Wales, in the UK, but I'm moving to London in about 3 weeks' time. So that's kind of put a temporary halt on it again. But because I'm recording with a guy called Gowan Davis, who he plays under the name Gilded Bones. And I met him at a gig that I played at. We played at a festival together. And then we got talking, and he's a producer as well. So I've been going to his and recording at his place. And it's going really well. But it's going to have to take a back seat while I move to the big smoke.
Gotcha. Right on. Well, I really dig the stuff that we're playing tonight. The Professional is a great track, and we have another track, Sinking Ship, which is obviously the title of the EP.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned playing festival shows. I mean, is this something you enjoy doing? You know, obviously the exposure has got to be pretty good, getting out to the festival shows, playing in front of, you know, several thousand people. Do you dig doing that, man?
It was a very small scale festival. It was more of a kind of charity thing. It was a festival over about seven different venues throughout the city. And I played, well, I was supposed to play once, but I ended up playing three times over the weekend. I just kept getting asked, can you play tonight? Can you play here? It's like, yeah, okay, just give me some time to get there. And so that was really cool. And recently I went up to a festival and ended up playing the main stage, which was great. And you know, I only went to watch, and because my partner, she's a musician as well, and I went up to watch her play, and then they had someone drop out on the main stage the next day, and I happily filled the slot.
Very cool. Now, obviously, the title of this EP I want to talk to you about, man, Sinking Ships. I mean, how did you come up with the title for this, man?
Well, basically, it just came up with the track Sinking Ships came first. I actually had this dream where Chunk from the Goonies, well, me and him were on a, he and I were on this boat, and the boat started sinking in some water, and I got out, and I was trying to help him out, and he fell into the water. And there was a shark and there was a killer whale in the water with him. And I was trying to get him out of the water, but he was just too fat. And and then I woke up the next day and I was just kind of, that was a weird dream. What the hell does that mean? And then I kind of came up with, the line kind of wrote itself. Then it just said, I don't know what it means, although it seems I'm destined to fail. That's kind of where that came from. If there's always going to be this beast there that's going to try and stop me doing something, that's kind of, so it's more of a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, slightly cynical look.
Right. You're like looking over your shoulder for a Chunk from the Goonies is right there, man, yeah. You know?
he didn't quite make it into the song.
Right. Instead of Release the Kraken, it's Release the Goonie? Is that it?
Yeah, Release the Truffle Shuffle, I think.
There you go. Yeah, Release the Truffle Shuffle. Nice. You know, that, I think we may have a title for the show tonight. That may be it right there.
Yeah.
Very cool, man. Now, obviously, you know, playing shows, you know, doing the CP, ready to move to London. Obviously, pretty busy guy, man. I mean, in your free time, what do you enjoy doing in your free time, man?
When I'm not working, I do a lot of illustration as well. And I've been recently working on this big sort of campaign for a rock night, basically. That's been a big part of the city I live in now for the last 13 years. And based on a poster I did for them, they've kind of killed that night and rebranded it. So there was a big hoo-ha last weekend because it was like the death of one of the biggest rock nights in the city. And it was kind of my fault. So that's pretty much what's been going on with me lately other than the music. It's a lot of illustration work.
You killed rock and roll, man.
No, well, we've started enough.
Yeah. I'm just messing with you, man. You mentioned the Coldplay album as a major influence. Can you name four other albums that were, you know, either not necessarily maybe even influences, but, you know, other albums that you think, you know, maybe your top albums overall?
I mean, in terms of influence, there's a guy called Colin Hay, the singer from Men at Work. I mean, he's got an album where it's just him and an acoustic guitar called Going Somewhere. That was a big influence for me. The Damien Rice album is a great album, and there was a band from down here actually called Liberty 37, and they are the very reason I started playing. And it just so happened that the singer was my English teacher in school, and it started off, you know, people said, have you heard Mr. Lewis's band? And I started listening to them. I was like, wow, this band is perfect. And so their second album, God Machine, that's one of my biggest influences in terms of vocally and to an extent musically as well. Other than that, I mean, I just listened to a lot of different stuff when I was a kid. I listened to stuff from Coldplay to Tool. I listened to all kinds of stuff when I was growing up. So my kind of influences have come from a bit of everywhere, really.
That's definitely a night and day, man. From Tool to Coldplay, man. That's definitely a very, very wide spectrum. What's the music scene like in the UK overall? Here in the States, I mean, you know, we've talked to a lot of different bands from all over across the country, you know, about the struggles and, you know, having to go out on the road and play shows and stuff. Is that something that you would like to do at this point once this EP is out, is to kind of, you know, start playing a bunch of shows and really try to, you know, hit the ground running with this thing?
Yeah, definitely, man. Basically over here, it's, I don't know if you have as big a problem over there. I assume it's just as bad there. Venues don't really like to pay bands. Yeah. And it's like, there's this whole thing. It's like, you don't realize what you're paying for here. There's, you know, it's not just me turning up, you know, rocking up my guitar. It's everything that it's getting there. It's the hours I've spent practicing to be here. It's all that kind of stuff that builds up. And, you know, you're trying to make a career out of it. And trying to get, you know, obviously it's not all about the money, but it's you know, it's hardly about the money really, but it does help, especially with recording costs, things like that, you know, it does help. And so that's the biggest problem over here, really. Other than that, there's a lot of great places to play, and the music scene is getting better and better over here. I think more and more people are paying attention to unsigned bands over here. I really think unsigned music is becoming the thing to look out for. People, you know, just from talking to people, I find people are less and less enthusiastic about chart music, and generally are talking about, oh my god, I saw this band in this pub or something like that. And so I think unsigned music is really going to kick off even more so in the UK anytime soon.
Yeah, but I think you're right on the head there, man. I think in the States it's kind of like that too. I mean, I live outside of Nashville. Everyone's like, "Oh, it's the music, you know, Music City, you know, Capital USA." Yeah. You know, and I'm like, "Man, I was like, I've talked to a lot of musicians in the area, and where they're like, yeah, man, like they want us to play covers. They don't want us to play our, you know, our eight or nine originals off our new album." You know what I mean? I'm like, "Ah, it's got to be rough." You know, now don't get me wrong. Obviously, there are tons of bars and clubs, you know, downtown Nashville area and outside in the outskirts that obviously are helping those musicians. You know what I mean? But it's not as many as you would think. You know, it's definitely an uphill climb in the industry, and I think people gravitate more towards something. At least people who are, you know, driven, you know, and very driven by music, are interested in going out and finding the, you know, the unsigned band or group or artist. You know,
Definitely.
You know, you have the, you know, the X Factor on TV and The Voice and all these things. You know, and these people, you know, are getting hand. You know, I don't want to say they're getting handout, but it definitely looks like these people are getting handout. And I don't think they're as talented as the majority of the people we've had just on this show alone. Not to mention the people who are out there.
It's such a cliche to say that things like The X Factor and The Voice are fixed, but you wouldn't believe how sort of preconceived it all is. A lot of it is very much planned and chosen, and that, and I have a long-standing problem with The X Factor for many reasons. Least of all is just the effect it has on the people, because, you know, all the people that go on there that are terrible, they all get let through for the sole purpose of being mocked and laughed at, and I just think that ends up ruining those people's lives, and that's my biggest problem with it, really. But some of it you can see a mile off, that they're going to be in that show for a long time. And that kind of thing. Sometimes I see people on there that are like crazy talented, and I think, what are you doing there? Go down an open mic night somewhere, just play for some people and just work at it. And it takes a lot longer and it's a lot harder, but far more rewarding.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right on there, man. Well, Chris, it's been a pleasure talking with you, man. And
thank you so much for having me.
Hey, dude, it's my pleasure, man. And definitely, thank you for your support of the show. And the EP titled Sinking Ships, obviously no release date yet, but if people want to find out more, you know, what's going on with you, when this EP is going to come out, how can they get a hold of you, man?
Dude, I am a Twitter whore. I'm on Twitter all the time. It is, I'm a tweet fanatic. If you just go, it's @Chris_Stringer. I'm there all the time. From there, you can, you know, if you want, just ask me, I'll send you my Facebook details. But other than that, it's facebook.com/ChrisStringerMusic. They're the places I keep up to date at the moment. My website is currently being built. They're the ones I kind of keep up to date with the most. There's obviously the Reverb Nation as well, which is just /ChrisStringer. But so far for the EP, we're just going to go early 2014 is going to be the release.
Well, cool, man. Well, yeah, definitely keep us in the loop, man, and we'd definitely like to have you back on. You're a cool dude, man, and best of luck to you. And we close out tonight with the title of the EP, Sinking Ships. What do we need to know about the song before we cue it up tonight, man?
If there's any time to do the truffle shuffle, now would be the one.
Very nice. Chris Stringer, always a pleasure, man, and be well, my friend. Much.
Spent days promising that I am okay when I really felt alone. Felt like I couldn't touch the ground. Took off my shoes and I lay down. Sick of blaming the machines. And I wipe at the broken glass and faces, trying not to laugh. This shit is harder than it seems. I dream of sinking ship sharks and killer whales. I don't know what it means, although it seems I am destined to fail. And in the woods I found a place where creatures live without a face, without a name, without a heart. And though I don't recall a thing, the animals make me king. I wear my crown in the dark. I dream of sinking ship sharks and killer whales. I don't know what it means, although it seems I am destined to fail.
That is Chris Stringer here on Revelator with Sinking Ships. Also, look for the Sinking Ships EP coming out sometime in early 2014. Again, thanks to Chris Stringer for coming on the show. For more information about all our guests, Against All Will, and also Chris Stringer, head on over to omnes.tv. Again, that's omnes.tv. You can find me, Ryan, on Twitter, Ryan_unsigned. And I tell you what, we've got a big-time show next week. We have Throw the Fight, really kick-ass band from Minneapolis, Minnesota, getting ready to start their tour with Black Veil Brides, and also Pop Evil on the show as well, talking about touring and playing some tracks off the new album Onyx, which is a big-time success. Kudos to those guys. And hey, it seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.
This was episode 28, Release the Truffle Shuffle. For show notes or links to topics discussed on this episode of Revelator, or to experience previous episodes, head on over to omnes.tv, that's omnes.tv, and click on Revelator. Thanks for listening.